Welcome to this podcast from Barlow McCarthy. We hope you find insight and a catalyst for change in the topics we discuss. Now here is today's presentation.
Laurel Hopkins began her current position in June of 2022, having been the Director and Manager of Physician Relations at Seattle Children's for 9 years. She came to Seattle Children's with 18 years of pharmaceutical sales experience working for Novartis, MedImmune, and Warner Lambert. I wanted to talk with Laurel in this podcast about the transition into a new organization and the advancement of her role. How was that onboarding experience as a leader, and what lessons did she learn through this experience? Laurel, great to have you with us today.
Allison, it's always fantastic to sit and talk with you. I always enjoy our time and walk away a little smarter because of it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, me too. So we're going to learn from you today. And for the listeners, can you just describe the difference in the role, your prior position versus the one that you have been in now for 5 months? And also talk about why you wanted to make that change, because I think that would help to put it into context as well.
Okay. It's a really good question. I was fortunate enough to, Allison, what was it about? Would it be a year and a half ago that you and I were connected from a mutual friend, Chris Barlow?
Yes.
And Chris knew that I was starting to think about my career, and I was getting to the point where I had less in front of me than I did behind me. And in terms of career time, and I really wanted to grow. And so I was fortunate enough to get in touch with you and begin to talk about what that really was going to look like for me. And as you know, I was with Seattle Children's as the Director of Physician Relations for nearly 10 years, and I loved my job. I'm a native of Seattle. You know, those people that work there and in the community have become friends and family. And so that was a tough place to be sitting in, where it's like, I feel like every day I go to work, it's with friends and family. I know what I'm doing, like the back of my hand, but there wasn't the growth there. And that's where you and I talked a lot about. You know, it took a lot of soul searching, not only soul searching, but then just sitting with you and talking about the fact that I am ready to make a move. And when we sat down and talked about what does that look like, what had I been missing in my career? And in my career for, you know, nearly 30 years, had always worked in pediatric medicine. So number one, I identified that it was time to switch it up and learn the adult side of the business, because if I really did want to ascend to that possible C-suite level, I needed to have that under my belt. And so that is what prompted the idea to start looking for new jobs. And fortunately, I was networked enough to really quickly be able to reach out to people and kind of on the sly, let people know what I was thinking about and ask their opinions and what they thought was available as well.
And as I remember, you were really looking for something that would move you away from being task oriented and really getting more into the strategy with the organization. How did physician relations fit in strategically and really thinking more at that level, as I recall?
That is exactly it. And, you know, moving through, you know, I should say that that is when this new position, which I've been in obviously now for 5 months at Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, which is under Common Spirit, was able to offer, you know, a big organization that was highly matrixed and really saw the physician relations role as part of strategy and as a true, and I know we don't like to necessarily say this in healthcare sometimes, but a true sales function.
Yep.
And getting into the adult side of healthcare, that became very tangible to me, that there's a high touch, AKA the physician relations component to it, but there is that strategy and that sales. And that is definitely a big motivator for me and where I wanted to take the next step with my career.
So you moved into adult
expanded into adult, expanded the size of the entity in which you're working. And you're, as you said, you know, now you're in a very matrixed organization versus where you were, which was pretty clean. Vertically. But I also want you to think about like the culture, decision-making style, service lines, the way things are done in the organization. Add that into the mix. What do you think has been in the 5 months, the steepest learning curve you've had so far?
That's a really, really good question. And the steepest learning curve for me was, again, dealing with the expanded service lines. So those adult service lines. And the difference between, especially at Seattle Children's, we were a tertiary quaternary care center, you know, very unique, highly specialized. It was very relational in nature about how we went about our business in physician relations. And now over on this adult side, there's some tertiary care for sure, but this spans the whole gamut now. Primary care all the way to tertiary care. And there's more choices. There's a heck of a lot more choices for the consumer and the providers. And that was, I was ready for it, but I didn't know how challenging that was going to be. And as challenging as it's been super fun to begin to unpack how to do that well. And 5 months in, you know, I'm 15 minutes old. It's still really exciting. So you asked what the challenge was. That was the challenge. And as time is moving on, and I think you know me well enough, and when we talk about leadership, I think that these are the qualities of a good leader is being able to look at these challenges and be like, oh my gosh, these are big, but there's also opportunity around them. And it's an opportunity to learn and begin to just, you know, grow your skill set. And so that was the biggest challenge for me and has now become the biggest opportunity, the thing I'm most excited about. Yeah. And then I will add, you and I were chatting before we hit the record button, is just that whole matrix of an organization. And that's been, again, super challenging, but the nature of our jobs as physician relations is to have relationships with intent. Our job is to connect people and to make sure that we're the conduit to make sure that patients are getting care, providers are able to get care to the patients that they take care of. And, you know, when all is said and done, it really boils down to that. And it makes the challenges seem a little bit more manageable.
Yeah. So in the matrix scenario, you've got somebody you report to at a very high system level, and you have somebody at the local organizational level that you report to. And so, well, we always like to think, well, their incentives should be equally aligned. Their priorities may not be equally or the same place at the same time, needless.
Yeah, that's been another, you know, see, each time we like talk about things, that would be down there in the list of, I don't know that it's necessarily a challenge though, Allison, versus an aha.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I've got, and I'm sitting in the best of both worlds. I've got great teams at my divisional local level. And then I've got a great, great national sales team with a great senior VP that I report up through. So I feel very, very well supported, but you're right. I mean, at the corporate level, it's about divisional performance. And at the division, of course, it's about divisional performance, but then it's like getting down into the weeds. And one thing, here we go, keep talking about challenges, is that the organization, Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, is just shy of 2 years in our merger. So we've got two systems that are coming together and two incredibly well thought of systems in the Pacific Northwest. You know, there's that challenge to deal with too.
Absolutely.
When you're talking about what's happening at corporate, it's happening at the divisional level. But again, as leaders in physician relations and sales, I mean, that is our job. We have so many stakeholders. Again, it comes back down to, are we connecting people? Are we delivering the right messages at the right time to the right people? And I really think that wherever you go, whether you're in a small organization, a large organization, if you can really distill it down to that's what we're doing, then I think you're going to be okay. And you have to have the support too.
Absolutely. So again, you were at the prior organization for 10 years. So that means like you knew everybody inside and out, right? So
I was like Norm from Cheers.
Yeah. And now you go to this much bigger organization where you really don't know anybody. As you've worked through, because one of the first tasks in onboarding as a new leader, obviously, is starting to build the relationships internally, that internal network, right? So how have you prioritized getting to know people and building that those relationships for yourself?
It's a really, really good question and a very important question too. I think, you know, you and I both know that networking and utilizing your network to the best of your ability is A, how we do business, but also from a personal perspective, incredibly important to your success. When we talk about the first 90 days, I mean, it's, are you aligning yourself correctly? Fortunately, I was able to go into an organization where I knew a handful of people. In my interviewing process, I built rapport very quickly with a bunch of people. And, you know, from the get-go, I got a list of people. These are people you have to meet right away. Okay, I'll go and do that. And then I made sure very quickly I connected with the people that I interviewed with, because they weren't necessarily all on that main list. Mm-hmm. And to come back and say, hey, I got the job. It was great talking to you. Now I'm excited to continue the conversations that we had during the interview process. And once I get those wins with those people, and I have air quotes going there, it was, okay, so Carrie, who do you think I should meet with? Mm-hmm. And tell me why, and would you help me make that introduction? Just continue. It's just continuing to grow your network that way. One thing that I was very conscientious about when I started this job, that I was like, I don't know, I could be rolling the dice here, but some of the more senior leaders that people were like, oh, you need to meet so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, we have a senior vice president of integration for Virginia Mason Franciscan Health. And I had been dying to meet this woman. And I was like, I want to hold off just a little bit, because I wanted to make sure I had a little bit of know-how. I wanted to have a little bit of knowledge mm-hmm. about myself before I sat down and talked with her. I wanted to be able to bring something to the table. It was a really great meeting, because I walked in and she's like, Laurel Hopkins, I've been waiting to meet you. And I'm like, I'm so sorry it's taken me so long to get to you. I said, but it was intentional. I said, I wanted to make sure I knew a little something and I had something to bring to you. And she was like, very, very smart.
Very.
So that paid off. And that's something that for some of the young women that I've been mentoring, as I'm going through these new things and all these new situations, I'm coming back and telling them, hey, put this in your resource kit for, as a 27-year-old woman, I'm like, geez, I wish I would have had this knowledge back then. But
right. But what I love about that is you first described basic networking 101, right? So you met the people you interviewed with, you went back to them again, you met new people, and from them you said, okay, who else do I need to meet? But then you strategically thought about it and yep. said, okay, if I'm going to meet that person who's got that kind of role and is at that level, I think I need to come more prepared with intelligence. And as you said, something to offer back yeah. to have a more robust conversation than tell me what you do.
Yeah. You know? How do you work with market development? And, you know, yeah, it was a good play.
Yes, it was. That was very smart.
The other thing that was, I wish I could take credit for this, but one of the great things that my senior vice president on the Common Spirit side did for me is he set me up with a mentor within our executive director group. And it was fabulous. And little did I know I would meet this woman who I, you know, we just hit it off. And it's like, hey, how have we never worked together before? Ancillary benefit, of course, but really nice to have somebody to just bounce ideas off of and ask the quote unquote stupid questions, right? It's like, I'm going to play the new card, but you know, how do I spell my name? Stuff like that.
Right.
That was worth its weight in gold. And I tell you, as I onboard people, I'm definitely going to make sure that that is something that happens.
Absolutely. Because this every organization has its way of being, has its way of doing things. And why make somebody trip over themselves if you can give them a mentor who can just cut to the chase and say, yeah, don't ask that or don't say that? Or
like one of the best things Liz said to me, and you know, you've known me for a while now, but and I'm a data geek at heart. And that was one of the things that was so intriguing about this new job is just the immense amount of data that I had at my fingertips. And I couldn't, you know, I wanted to dive in. I wanted to make heads or tails of it. And Liz was like, leave the data alone. She goes, the first 3 months, she goes, I get you. But these first 3 months, you just got to get to know the people. Get to know the people. And again, that was just, I wish I could take credit for that. And I would tell you, I'm hijacking that as I enjoy in as I onboard people myself, because again, you know, take a step back from, I wanted to have that data under my belt to be able to, I don't know if it was, you know, prove my worth, provide worth, but really, you know, what is my worth? My worth is that I know how to network with people, and the what you know comes very, very close second. So that was incredible advice from Liz. And then, like I said, because I had a mentor that somebody had said, you just hook up with this person.
Yeah. What it also makes me think about, Laurel, is when we take a new position, we've got sort of that, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, thought of, I got to prove myself. I got to have some quick wins. I got to do something that can be recognized really fast to validate for them that they made the right choice in me. And so what you were just sharing was that balancing act that this mentor really helped you to think through it, maybe not putting so much weight on the quick wins in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
The real win was to have people get to know you first, and then more of the tangible pieces of the work.
It's exactly right. Because, you know, now that we're talking about this, in meeting all of those people, Allison, I kept hearing this theme that would go through, especially at the divisional level. It's like, you know, there was this specific theme. And so I'm like, oh, you know, so-and-so said that, and so-and-so said this. So this is a huge thing for the organization. And so to be able to piece that all together, and when we high-achieving people, when we want a quick win, we want a quick win. And to us, 90 days is slow. We're behind the eight ball.
Yes.
To be able to have a win within 90 days, it's a pretty big deal. I'm recognizing that now. Again, being able to stop and do that basic networking, pick up what those themes were, use the expertise of which I was hired for. And I pieced that all together. And I did literally, it's, you know, I'm coming up on 5 months, and I literally just had what I would consider a very, very big win with one of our big service lines and my vice president of strategy, to the point where they're like, oh my gosh, we totally forgot that we need market development at the table. And so, you know, I don't think that would have happened if I came in like a bull in a china shop.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's right. So, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it also makes me think about there's a book I love, The Thin Book of Trust, and it talks about the pillars of trust being competence, reliability, sincerity, and then showing that you care. This mentor was basically saying to you, a lot of what you need to do is build trust through that care and that sincerity, and then bringing your competence naturally to the table. And so then the question is now the reliability piece, and how we get that proven. Yeah. So people really do trust you to put their service lines in your hands.
Right. And that's, you know, I remember you and I having multiple coaching. I would say we probably had 3 coaching sessions around not necessarily reliability, but this whole trust, the thin book of trust. And then I know you and I talked like trust, respect, integrity, and credibility. Yes. You know, you can't within trust, if any one of those pillars is a little loose, you have the trust wobble. That's if right. any one of those other four, those are my four: trust, respect, credibility, and integrity. I just, you can't not have one, can't exist. They all can't exist without all, without the others. And so reliability, that's where you're in it for the long haul. And that's where it's not a sprint. It becomes a marathon. And, you know, that's where our leadership skills, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up in the challenge, for goodness sakes. I took the position of a woman who had been here for 16 years. She wow. was beloved. And I'm like, oh my God.
No. Oh, big shoot.
Built the team that I have now. Yeah. And the beauty of this woman, her name is Lee. And Lee was, I talked to her as I was before I was interviewing. And then after, and she and I have become, I would say, very nice acquaintances. She was lovely. I'm like, gosh, the only bummer here is that we don't get to work together.
Yes.
So here I come in, and this organization loved Lee, and oh, here comes the new kid. So then there's that, you know, you don't want to step on the respect and the trust they had of that person. Rather, in your networking, it's like, I'm so grateful that this foundation has been set. I am going to do my best to steward us in the same direction for continued growth. That wasn't even just to senior leaders. I mean, my biggest consternation and probably the thing that gave me the sweats the most was that team. This was a fantastically high productive team. They were my biggest, they were my biggest focus and will continue to be, earn their trust and their respect.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, and that brings me back to what we were talking about in the beginning, in the choice you made to take this position, because what you did before was build the program, mm-hmm. right? You hired every one of those team members, you trained them, you developed them, you encouraged them, got them probably as in most cases as far as they could go. And so that was the other thing that I just remembered was that you weren't necessarily wanting to go back to start a new program again. You really wanted to be working with an established one and challenge yourself to take it yeah. to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I'll tell you, walking into an established program, that it's not even that they're poised for growth, but growth is like essential, is almost as daunting's not the good word. It is not a good word. Challenging as it was to walk into my old position and grow it to where we were. We were, you know, it was a program that collected issues and talked about things that became an, you know, an enterprise asset. Like there was yeah. a seat at the table for physician relations in a strategic way. And so that's, you know, you reminding me of that too. I don't want to say it's pushing my leadership ability, but it's really helping me recognize the importance of, you know, you've heard me say this before, director, manager, those are titles. Leadership is, that's a characteristic. Anybody can get a title, but not everybody can be considered a leader. That's and right. I take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, my peers label, give me that label, and I don't take it lightly at all.
Yes. And as you said, this organization expects growth. It was getting growth, but now it expects another level of growth. And mm-hmm. that's the nice stretch, leadership stretch for you.
Yeah.
Is taking what you know and then using your leadership skills and challenging some more of your leadership skills to really stretch you professionally
mm-hmm. yeah.
to another level. So mm-hmm. last question, Laurel, I just am thinking about, you know, the whole 5 months. We call onboarding, I don't know if we call it 90 days, 6 months, whatever. But when you look at the past 5 months, what would have been helpful to you if you had it? Or what was the most helpful thing that you received? Is there kind of like a top one or two that you would say was really important for you and getting to the 5 month marker?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I mean, I think we talked a lot about what the really good things were, you know, the opportunity to network with the people. I mean, some of that was provided to me, you know, the majority of it I took upon myself, but having a mentor, those were great, great things in onboarding. And those are the great things that made up for the items that maybe might've been lacking. And it's hard to say, are they lacking because they're just not there or because everything is still, we're coming out of a pandemic. Nobody, everything's off the table.
Right.
So, you know, who's on first, who's on second to be able to say, point them in this direction, point them in that direction. And then keep in mind, I'm coming into an organization that is just, two gigantic systems just merging.
Right.
And so that's the thing that was, I don't even know if we want to say it was missing, but something that we are looking at now is as Virginia Mason, Franciscan Health, how do we onboard folks for the system?
Yes.
Because right now I'm finding myself going, well, the Virginia Mason side of the house and the Franciscan side of the house. And I'm like, no, we can't do this. I need to say Virginia Mason, Franciscan Health. We are one system. And so that's been, from an onboarding perspective, been challenging just because that hasn't really been done system-wide yet because we're trying to figure it out. And we're just coming out of a pandemic.
Yes. Which is a lot. I mean, I can remember back in, you know, my day, I went into an organization in a similar position to you, and it was two systems who had just come together. And there's a lot of complexity still at the 2-year point that has to get cleaned out.
You know, and I think the thing that we need to rely on and be and trust, here we come back to that word of trust, is that we need to trust in our resiliency. You know, in the fact that we're sitting in these places because we were our skills were recognized, our successes were recognized, and we're sitting there for a reason.
And one of the things I very much remember is physician relations became a lot of the impetus for the system having to wrestle with things because we were in the marketplace being asked, right?
Yep.
You know, I think in a situation like yours, we can be a great instrument to facilitate getting stuff done and figuring stuff out because the market's questioning it.
Agreed. And one of the biggest benefits that we need to remember is that, you know, the beauty of physician relations, market development, sales, we can pivot on a dime.
Yes.
You know, big organizations, small organizations can sometimes have a very difficult time with that. And because we talk about being highly matrix, but we also, I mean, we sit at the center. I would challenge anybody to give us a department or a stakeholder within the healthcare organization that we don't engage with. Even environmental services. I thought that might be the one. But no, I've got a market development representative who is so entrenched in her hospital that, you know, I got that. I'll go get the light bulbs. So, you know, that's the beauty of this again, is that where we sit is we're really lucky because we can pivot on a dime. You had asked another question, and I want to make sure I'm answering that.
What we were starting with was, you know, what would have been helpful as you were onboarding?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer because I'm sitting in a relatively new organization. But what I will say is that, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, get introduced to you as I was starting this journey. And now that I'm in this journey, you know, one of the things you and I were just talking about, and I want people to hear, is how important that value of having that coach really is. If you have the opportunity to get a good coach, like I have, it is worth its weight in gold. You know, I want to sit down with you in the next month and just go back and talk about the things that, you know, I was scared about, the things that I thought, the things that I hoped, and see where we are. And then, you know, level set, and then let's continue on. So in terms of onboarding, I also really encourage people to either have that mentor in the organization, or if you have the opportunity to find a fantastic coach, do, because that just keeps you moving in the right direction. And also can possibly help you pivot, there we go with the pivot again, on some things that maybe might not be going well. And before you get too off the tracks with something,
yes,
you know, you're back on track.
Yes. It's a safe place to talk about the things that may be challenging or uncomfortable, or you just need to stretch yourself around. You know, maybe you don't feel competent in something, but me, the objective party, can see it totally differently and, yep, and help reinforce it. Yes.
Yes. And I always, when you said, nope, that you never told me, you've never yet told me, no, I don't think so. But maybe we can think about this in a different way.
Right.
Again, you know, I mean, that's the thing that keeps us moving forward. And, you know, one of the things that I just read that I thought was very timely in getting ready to have this conversation with you was, you know, when we hit that imposter syndrome, we start something new, we want to kind of sit and dwell in the past and, you know, put our successes in the past. And sometimes you just need to move, you just need to put it aside and just trust in yourself that you know how to move forward.
That's right.
I think that plays itself well for your success. And I also think when you put that out there as a leader, it shows people that you have vulnerability and that you are willing to continue to learn, because how are you going to be a good leader for people if you don't continue to learn?
That's right. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you, Laurel. This has been fantastic.
Thank you.